Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. There we go. I see you. Hey, there's folks here this morning. Good to see y'all. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Boy, I am. Man, alive, I tell you. I am just so excited to be here. I love our worship team. I just think we have the best worship team, man, that there is. It's amazing. Praise God. Praise God. There's just nothing like coming in and worshiping the Lord, you know? And I got to say, I enjoy joining some of the worship that we've been having online. But, man, there's just nothing like being in the house and feeling the presence of the Lord with brothers and sisters worshiping the Lord and loving on God. So, man, I am so glad that you're here this morning, and I want to welcome our online church. If you're there in your home and you're joining us, man, we're so glad that you've joined us this morning, and for our family that's online as well. So we welcome you this morning. I believe that God's got a great word for you. And I was thinking, you know, with joy, I noticed something this morning. Man, I know it for sure. He's a chip off the old block. He is his father's son. Now, I would be one of the few that would know that, because when Joey got up this morning and said, I heard this word, and he said, it reminded me of an old song. And Wayne Bishop has a repertoire of music, about 2,000 songs in his heart. It's so good that people have taken the Word of God and put it to music and just bring such ministry. I love when people sing the Word of God and they sing, they minister. When people are up ministering the Word, it's their heart reaching into my heart. And man, I could sometimes just stay in a worship time for hours, just love, and I have. And I love the Lord. And so I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have this morning. Man, we're going to get into the Word of God this morning. But before we go there, why don't we take a moment and just go to the Lord and just pray. Father, we love you and we bless you. We want to say this morning, Father, we love you. I am so grateful that, Lord, you are a compassionate God and a comforting Father. That, Lord, you are compassionate toward our hearts and our needs. And you bring comfort into our lives as we're growing and trying to grow in understanding and even through all of our challenges. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. We love you for being our love, but our master, our king, our savior, and our friend. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have his way in this place today. Holy Spirit, I pray that I can hear your voice clearly and be a blessing to the body today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I'm going to finish up today our series on how to live through changing times, and this is part 6 today. I'm going to try to finish it up today. But, you know, the bottom line of how to live in challenging times is successfully. We're to live successfully, no matter what is coming against us, no matter what is happening, and even with all the threats today of the COVID infection and all the challenges of the stay-at-home stuff, you know, we're to live successfully. God has intended that for us and planned that for us and has purpose in that. And so that's your bottom line. And what we're doing is we're looking at these steps that the Apostle Peter laid out for the church before he left to go to be with the Lord. He said, I have learned these things and I'm passing them on to you, how to live a successful Christian life. And so the steps are these: faith. You'll look on the screen. Faith, virtue, knowledge, here we go, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Those are the steps. These steps right here, it's so exciting to look at these and see how they function. I mean, our life group, man, we have an awesome life group, our men's life group that happens on Wednesday nights. And we've seen something about these steps, that these steps are a progression of growth, and the Scripture tells us exercise faith to develop virtue, exercise virtue to develop knowledge, and et cetera, all the way up, that you exercise one to get to the next level. Well, if you get to that next level up there and you look back, you realize these steps are prerequisites to be at this level. And we understand prerequisites. I mean, if you're an engineer, you've realized that before you got to calculus and you got through the calculus class, there was a prerequisite that you had to understand of addition, subtraction. You had to realize 1 plus 1 equals 2 before you ever got to calculus. Are you with me? Yeah. And there's some things in the Word of God, as you try to understand them, There are prerequisites of growing and getting a foundation in certain areas before you can understand some other things. Are y'all with me? And so in our life group, we were talking about patience and having patience, and we had to look back, and I challenged them to look at all of these situations, whether it's godliness, which we covered last week. It's not simply how you present yourself, but how you look at life, looking through the eyes of Jesus. But to be able to do that, or to even have patience, true patience, you had to look back. For you to operate in true patience, you have had to groan and have prerequisite of understanding, knowledge, and self-control. Based on your faith and making good decisions, you don't really have patience unless you have an idea of what the outcome will be of your patient action. That God wants to do a work in you that will bring maturity to you, where you'll be not lacking anything. Are y'all seeing this? And so I challenge you, these steps that we have here, as you look in your life, you may be down here trying to operate in godliness, how you look at other people, but as you've grown in patience, when you have faith and you're making wise decisions based on your faith and you're operating knowledge, knowing outcome, you can have this godliness, the way you look at things based on these other areas. And when we were talking about someone who acted in patience, and then we looked at, hey, you operated in patience because you knew the potential of the outcome. You saw the consequences of being patient with the Lord, patient and waiting on God. Are y'all following this? So I challenge you, if you're in any of these areas, temperance, you say, man, I need some self-control. You're not going to have self-control until you understand the consequences of your action. So there are prerequisites to growth, but you can grow. That's what we're trying to do. So my sincere heart this morning is that you grow in the Lord, that you truly grow in the Lord. That's why we're doing this. Okay, so let's go to 2 Peter, the first chapter. In verse 9, it says, but he that lacketh these things, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, it says, if you lack these things, you're blind. And so I looked in the Greek, Lord, I want to understand what your acts, I want to get the depth of what you're saying, the spirit of the word in my heart. When you're blind, it says that you're, and it says in the Greek, it's physically or mentally. So we understand it's not physically. We're not talking about physical blindness, right? It's mental or spiritual blindness. It says that you've lost sight of the potential outcome. You've lost sight. In the Greek, it says that you have shut your eyes. So what I'm encouraging you today is not to shut your eyes to the Word of God. Yeah. Not to look at something else. If you're looking at the challenge today in our society, in our world, don't keep your eyes off of God's Word. Don't shut your eyes to God's Word. Don't forget what God's Word is saying. Don't forget who you are and what God has called you to be and to do. And it goes on to say, and also, but it said that you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. If you shut your eyes to the truth of God's Word, you will soon forget even who you are. You'll lose sight of the person that you are, that you've been purged from your old sins. Hey, listen, then what he's saying here, I'm not the same person. God has forgiven me. God has purged me from my sins. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. See, the church for too long has forgotten who they are. Amen. He goes, so wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You know, rather than allowing our lives to go in a direction that will cause us to forget who we are and what God has done in our lives, let's be diligent to shore up our calling and election to God. We need to understand what that is. We need to be diligent. We put our hand to it. Anything you put your hand to in the Lord can prosper. Are you with me? And it will prosper. So listen to the New American Standard. I'm going to read verse 10 in a couple of different translations so it kind of gets into your psyche. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You're not practicing them if you've closed your eyes to them. Are you with me? Yeah. He says, as long as you practice these things, you'll not stumble. That's an assurance from God. Listen to the Living Bible. So, dear brothers, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. And then you will never stumble or fall. Amen. Now go to Romans the 11th chapter if you're taking notes. Romans 11, verse 29 through 32. We're talking about making your calling and election sure. Romans the 11th chapter, here's a familiar scripture. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Or the King James says, are without repentance. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, we have used that over the years and to encourage the people in the character of God. And talking about God calling you, God's gift in you. In other words, that God doesn't give up on you. Now, the context of this scripture here, though, as you read the context, he's talking about the people of Israel. He's talking about them walking away from not believing that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus was the Christ. They rejected Jesus. And really, that's bad for them, but it was good for us. So let's go on and read. He says, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. So in other words, God hasn't given up on Israel, even though they didn't believe. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. They turned from God, so God turned to us and offered it to the world, to the Gentiles. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. I thought, you meditated. Through the mercy given to you, they can obtain mercy. When they see that God blessed the Gentiles to receive redemption unto life, it made them jealous for that and say, whoa, I think I want some of that too. Amen. We saw that in the book of Acts. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. We've all been lumped into the same bunch. the children of Israel and the Gentiles, that we could all be redeemed and have God's mercy, which is abounding toward us right now. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He has reconciled you to him through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit or to know that God was in Christ, listen to this, reconciling the world unto himself. Now there might be someone online today who maybe inside is doubting that God would still love them, that God would still reach out to them. But see, God reconciled the world to himself through Jesus Christ. Every man, woman, and child has a right to receive redemption, to receive reconciliation, not imputing their sins unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, listen, beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, or for God, for Christ's sake and benefit, be ye reconciled to God. He's saying, be reconciled to God. Receive it. Receive it. I'm praying that somebody today, whether in these services or online tuning in, whether today you're tuning in live or you're listening to the broadcast later, that God wants you to realize he has reconciled you to Christ. And he's saying, be reconciled. Receive this. Take it. It's yours. You can be a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can find new life. There's so many people going in live and they say, man, the life I've been living is a dead-end road. I need something else. Well, it's Christ Jesus. And he's saying right here, be reconciled to God. So God has he's provided reconciliation for all of us. That reconciliation, I want you to realize, that reconciliation in the original language is to bring into agreement or harmony, make compatible. Make compatible. Oh, that's exciting to me. I mean, the blood of the Lamb washing the sin seed out of my heart has made me compatible with walking with God. Good. That reconciliation, it makes me compatible with God. We're compatible because of what he did inside of me. Oh, man, I get along with God. There's this harmonious relationship between me and the Father. Come on, that's exciting. It's all good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just stop there. You and I need to be showing out some endurance because of our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, you're just like me. You're tired of this COVID mess. But I intend to endure to the end. Yes. But not just to make it through. I want to endure with hope. Yeah. Jesus is alive. Yeah. This challenge to our nation, this challenge to our world, did not knock God off the throne. It didn't surprise him one bit. Yeah. It surprised a lot of us. Oh, my word, the sky is falling. No, the sky's not falling yet. Our hope is in Christ. Oh, praise God. For we know, brothers, loved by God, listen to this, that he has chosen you. God has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. When you have deep conviction, you'll die for it. These men, they were willing to die for the faith to get the word to you. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. There's people thinking today, it's never been this bad. This is the worst it's ever been. No, it isn't. Maybe for you today. But God works in challenging times. He's a miracle-working God. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Let's welcome the message of hope, even during this challenging time, that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. People ought to be looking at the church today and said, how in the world can you be so happy? Don't you know that people are catching COVID? Yes, I know. But I also know that Jesus is Lord. This ain't the end of it. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. And you, as so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report that what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. What it says here is that they were chosen. Now, I'm telling you this morning, please listen to me and hear my heart. He's speaking to the brethren. You as a brother, you as a sister of Christ, you as a child of God, you are chosen. That's the reference. But what you see here is they worked out their faith to receive from God. They knew they were chosen, but they had to work out their faith to receive from God, to walk it out, to be who God has made them to be. Are y'all hearing me? You're the chosen of God. You're a child of God. You're a king's kid. Walk it out. Yeah. Grow in the word. These steps are for us to grow, to walk it out, to build. You say, Pastor, I'm at the bottom of the rung. Don't stay there. Yeah. Don't stay there. Yeah. Keep building. Keep walking. Keep climbing. Oh, praise God. You're the light of the world. You bring hope to the world, to a lost and dying world. So God, he chose to give us Gentiles the gospel. He actually chose us. Now it's up to us to just simply walk it out. So have you again noticed these steps, if we've been walking this together, that these progression of steps, they take us and lead us from being what the world would have us to be in humanity alone to being what God designed us to be. Amen. To not stay in that place. Now let's go on to brotherly kindness. Basically, brotherly kindness is just loving other people and not being self-centered. Not being self-centered. Not being selfish. Not being all about you. Are you with me? growth has to come before we're not self-centered, before we get the focus off of us. We need to grow in some areas and not be self-centered before we can actually express brotherly kindness. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to the other with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves, listen, are taught of God to love one another. That tells me it don't come natural, because you've been in the flesh. You're going to default. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. Come on, you slap me, I'm going to slap you. Are you with me? Yeah, I'm not turning a cheek. Come on now. You got to be taught how to walk out in brotherly kindness. All these other building steps are dealing with the inward person. You got to deal with the inward person before you can go out and truly walk out brotherly kindness. Galatians 6. Let's look at Galatians 6, verse 2. I love this. It's, bear you one another's burdens. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I like that. I like that. When I'm all self-centered and, you know, you think you're something, you're deceiving yourself. See, that's pure flesh, you know what I'm saying? I got to quit doing that, don't you? Okay. Amen. But I'll explain that in just a moment. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now listen, I was looking at these, and I think, oh, wait a minute. Bear you one another's burdens, but now he's telling me to bear my own burden. How's somebody going to help bear my burdens when I'm supposed to bear my own burdens? Well, see, you got to do a little studying, right? You got to do a little bit of digging. That first burdens, they're two different words in the Greek. The burden that he's talking about, bear you one another's burdens, is a weight that takes you down. It's a heavy burden that they can't bear up on their own. Now, there are other things that are, the bottom one, when it says bear your own burdens, or it's like the light load. There are things, the burdens that you and I bear that you got to bear up and you got to do. Yeah. It's just, you can do it, you know? But then the first one is talking about we need each other. Because people go through challenges and they bear a burden that they can't hold it up on their own, and they need you to come over next to them, help shore it up and encourage them and challenge them and love on them and help them to walk it out. Yeah. To walk it out. Okay, verse 3 from the NLT. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Does the Lord ever just tell you how it is? Yeah. You ever been praying to the Lord and you're talking to them about somebody else and the Lord says, well, what's that to you? Man, he just tells you like, see, he's growing us up, right? Yeah. I love what Pastor Joy said, you know, our life is a constant life of repentance, yeah. Of our minds changing in the other direction. See, God's working on us. If God revealed to you all at once everything is wrong with you, you died on the spot. Come on now. Aren't you grateful for God's mercy and grace? Come on. But there's three thoughts that come to my mind when I read that scripture about bearing one another's burdens. Number one is we sustain one another with our counsels, our exhortation, and our prayer. We need each other. That, and we sustain one another in that process. That means we got to help one another, right? There's times that I have been so down, if someone hadn't come to help bear me up and lift me up, I wouldn't have made it. I believe that. And number two, you know, the Christians who are conscious of their infirmities, they actually have a right to our concern and our encouragement. Come on. You think you're something when you're nothing, man. You deceive yourself. You're not so important you can't help somebody else. And that person needs your encouragement. They may need your love. I'm telling you, people come into the church body, church services, and there may be someone sit down next to you that hadn't had a bath in a week. Right? That's never happened to y'all. But there's people come in, and maybe they're the guy that was so bad that you read about, or you know them. You know how bad they've been. But you don't know that God hadn't been dealing with their heart. Why would they be here? I had a couple of guys, Hispanic guys out in Pecos, driving by the church one time, and they were drug dealers. They were the real thing. That's not a good thing, right? Wouldn't you say? That's not a good thing. That's not a life living for Christ. And as they drove across the front, see what happened was, people came into my office one night and said, "Pastor, knock, 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 Pastor, there's somebody out here that needs to talk to you." And so, what as they were driving by, the guy in the passenger seat tells the driver, "Stop, stop, stop, stop right here. What? Let me out. I'm going in there." He said, "Don't you know what that is?" "Yeah, it's a church." He said, "Yeah, I need to give my life to the Lord. I need to get saved." And he walked in that evening, and I met him there. And, of course, he called me, I think he called me Father Stan. That's okay. That was an acknowledgement of faith, or respect. And I led him to the Lord that night. But if I'd have said, "Wait a minute, I'm not putting up your jive. I'm not gonna do this. You're not gonna manipulate me. What are you doing in here? I see you're ruining people's lives. What are you doing in here?" But see, God wanted to touch his life that day. So he has a right to that. He has a right to have a choice to choose life. And number three, they should not be cast off to the cold and heartless world, a world that rejoices in their failure, a world that's ready to brand them as hypocrites and failures. Are you with me? We need to love one another. Amen. So, you know, we need to be operating in brotherly kindness. Go to John 13. It says a new commandment. This is awesome right here. A new commandment. Brother, you brought this up in our life group. A new commandment. Hey, I thought we just had 10 commandments. I'm giving you a new one. That's awesome. And you know, it covers the other 10, okay? He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Okay, we can do that. "And that you love one another." Now look at verse 35. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." A new commandment. It's like this, a badge of discipleship by which people would know that we're his friends and followers and be distinguished from all others. Now, I looked at that, you know, that's not the first time that the Bible tells us to love other people. Because in Leviticus 19:18, it says, "You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." But it's new because never before had it been a distinguishing factor by which a class or a body of people would be known. Never before had it been that distinguishing factor that you could recognize them as separate from everybody else. Are you following me? This is something that's absolutely amazing. And you could give examples in our own life. You can look at a certain group of people or class of people, and you can look at them and look how they dress and say, that's so-and-so there. That's what they are. If you look at our military, of the United States, if you look at them and how they are dressed, you would say they're a soldier of the United States of America. They may have a different facet of where they serve, whether it's Navy or Air Force, Marine or Army or Coast Guard. But when you look at that outfit, that uniform, you classify them as military without knowing their background. But I will have you to know that in that military, there are different groups of people that have come to serve our country for freedom. And we don't look at their color. We look at them as soldiers in our military. Some of the soldiers in our military weren't born in the United States. Many of them came from Mexico, other countries, but they've served for our freedom. But we look at that uniform and they're classified as soldiers. Are you all following this? It's a distinguishing factor. And the love for one another is a distinguishing factor that is like a special badge of a group of people. That was what was new about it. By this shall people know you are my disciples. When they look at church folk today, do they look at us and say, those people are serving God? There's great love in that body. That's what it needs to be. Amen. And now, in regard to how much love, he said, as I have loved you. That's a great love. That's a strong, committed, unremitting love. Now, John 15, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. You ought to be seeing that Jesus died for you. That's how much God loves you. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If we don't have these other levels and prerequisites built in our life, we're going to have a hard time walking in that kind of love. If we're still selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, self-fulfilling, we're not going to operate in brotherly love like this, not to this level. Let's look at the last one, charity. Charity is love, and it means the agape love of God. Then when you read love in the King James, it doesn't distinguish, less many times you can read context and find it out, but you have to look at the original language a lot of times to see what it's either talking about agape love, phileo love, eros love, or, you know, those different types of love. But this is agape love. Now this is, I brought you through all of this to take you back to the first scripture that drove me to Peter. In Romans 8, 28, very familiar scripture where we've all read it. For we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. For we know that all things work to the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And that scripture, in meditating on that scripture, drove me to search. Now listen to the NLT. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them. In verse 29, he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn with many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him and gave them right standing with himself. And he promised them his glory. Nothing can separate us from God's love. What can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, my word. I believe he's talking about all of us, not just the preacher. He's talking about all of us, isn't he? If God be for us, who can be against us? God has loved us so much. He gave us his only son that we should live and not die. Amen. And all things will work to our good because we love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen. So I wanted you to solidify in your heart that you are the called. Because in Romans 1, Paul says that we're the called, and among whom also we're the called of Jesus Christ. We're in this together. Now, let me say, Romans 8, 28, the thing that really kind of stuck that I couldn't quite get over, it says, everything works together for good. Have you noticed there's things that in your life that doesn't look so good? When I read that scripture, for all things work to the good of those that love God and call according to his purpose. Okay, God, I'm called to your purpose. I'm even a pastor. Come on. How much better is it getting that, Lord? Or, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord, but this don't look so good. Have y'all ever been that honest with the Lord to say, it said good, but God, this ain't good. Okay, this ain't good what we're going through and what we've lost. And then you got to dig. You got to dig. Because see, the word there, love, is agape love. It's the God kind of love. Because you can get people to say, hey, I love God. What happens when the hard times come? What happens when the challenges come? What happens when things happen in your life that you can't explain? When you feel loss? I've buried babies to 19-year-old mamas, and that's not good. You say, God, what's happening here? It's a love that, agape love, is a love that absolutely expects nothing from others in order to love them. Did you love them even though they stabbed you in the back? Amen? It's an abounding love. It doesn't happen to us. It doesn't just happen to us. It's a building process. It's rooted in virtue. knowledge, temperance, self-control. It's rooted in your faith as a foundation. You grow into these areas to get to that love. You can't walk out the God kind of love if you don't build these things into your life. And when you're walking, here's a good bottom line. When you're walking in the God kind of love, you begin to dictate to your circumstances. They don't dictate to you. That's why it'll start working for your good. You'll say, God, I'm going to do the right thing in this situation. God, I'm going to love you in this situation. God, I'm going to give you thanks in this situation. Not for it, but in this situation, God, I trust that you are in control. I trust that you are the God above all gods in this situation. And I can draw joy out of anything because, God, you're my God. And in the end, I know the devil loses. I know he's stirring things up, and he's trying to take as many of us out with him as he can, but his time is coming. God knew my beginning at my end, and I will dictate to my circumstances. The Bible says in Psalms 91 that we can run and shelter in God. I've been sheltering in God. But even that, it says, those who serve the Most High God, no evil will conquer them. It didn't say that evil wouldn't come and challenge you and try to. I believe that I begin to speak to the circumstances, the truth of God's word. Devil, you're a liar and a thief. You have committed treason against the Most High God. You have been defeated. Your power has been stripped of you. And Jesus has given me authority over you, so I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand. Oh, praise God. I think you're getting it, man. It's awesome, isn't it? I hope you're out there online. You're getting this. Praise God. Praise God. Well, in 2 Peter, let me close with this. 2 Peter 1, verse 10, he said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's a promise from God's word. We can be successful in our Christian walk, you and I. It's a promise. It's God's word. You got to renew your mind to it. Don't let the devil lie to you. When you gave your life to Jesus, you're not the same person. Oh, you look in the mirror, you may look the same. You may even act the same for a while till we get some of that cleared out, you know. But you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you do these things, you shall never fall. That's his promise to us if we follow his instruction. That's his promise to us if we follow his instruction. I pray that you have great hope in that. And I want to say to our online church today, we're so glad that you joined us today. Those of you that are part of Victory Life Brownwood that are here, we love you. We've been praying with you. We are with you today, wherever you are in your living room. If you're joining with us from somewhere else, we want to say that we bless you, we love you, and we pray God's best for you. We love you. God bless you.